The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business, like Delta Airlines. Together with T-Mobile for Business, Delta Airlines is putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. And Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to connect over 2,200 stores around the country with 5G business internet. Plus, T-Mobile is powering AI solutions so Tractor Supply team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
There are two steps you can take to fast track your job search and get further in your career on top of listening to the Job Interview Experience podcast. One option is free, one is not. First, sign up for the Job Interview Experience newsletter. It's brand new, it's free, it comes out on Fridays and provides you with resources to help you be a smarter, more effective job seeker. When you sign up, you get a free download of my interview prep ebook. It's awesome. The newsletter contains top content that's too short for the podcast or too up-to-date, too relevant to today's news to put on the podcast. Along with that, giveaways, national job market insight plus my insight, a funny meme or two to relieve your job search blues. Last Friday, I had a section of advice and insight for video interviews. One of the things I shared is how you can buy a $15 LED ring light for your computer so you look 10 times better during your video interview and all meetings throughout your entire career. Stuff like this and way more. Also, I offer one-on-one interview coaching with listeners. It has been a huge hit and is making an impact on listeners' careers and lives. You can choose how long we meet, from 30 minutes up to an hour and a half, so you can make it work with your time frame and your budget. We can go over your resume, rework it, do a mock interview where I provide feedback after every response, discuss strategy for your specific job situation, and way more. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com and read testimonials from listeners just like you who were struggling and invested their resources to get where they want to be faster. And at jobinterviewexperience.com, you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter and start taking the right steps to take control of your interview and succeed. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or click the link in this episode's description to go check it out. Welcome to the Job Interview Experience. Dr. Benjamin Ritter, founder of LFY Consulting, is an international leadership and career coach, senior talent management consultant, top career development and executive coaching voice on LinkedIn, international speaker, values geek, online instructor, and host of the executive podcast and the Live for Yourself Revolution podcast. His mission is to guide and empower leaders towards becoming the leader of their own careers and create a career they can love. Ben has over 11 years of experience working internally as a talent, leadership, and learning development leader, and externally as a coach and consultant in the realms of talent, organizational, and leadership development. He has worked with clients from Amazon, Coursera, DoorDash, Google, Pinterest, Yelp, and more. Today, Ben is going to share his insight on leveraging questions during a job interview. Two questions job seekers need to ask at the end of every interview, proven interview prep methods, and much more. Ben, welcome to the Job Interview Experience.
Happy to be here. I'm excited.
Ben, you've been busy. Can you give us a quick recap of where you are today?
For the past 11 or so odd years now, I've been in the leadership development, talent development, organizational development space. I earned my doctorate in organizational leadership. I've done research on values, congruence, and job satisfaction. And I've worked with over 400 leaders one-on-one to help them basically craft their careers into careers that they could say were fulfilling. And I've also worked with tens of thousands of individuals through workshops and trainings to help them develop as leaders in their organizations and in their career.
When you're not working, how do you like to spend your free time?
I'm a big fantasy book geek, so I will sit down and read book after book about magicians and all that fun stuff. I'm also a big wellness geek as well, so I'll usually be reading my fantasy book while doing a bunch of sprints. That's not very safe. But I will be at the gym and then find some time for cardio while I can also read. And then right now I'm very much about prioritization of pursuits. And one of the things I'm focused on is learning Spanish. So I have about a half an hour a day where I'll study, do some vocab or watch some videos and try some immersion.
How do you think job seekers can leverage questions during their job interview?
Take a step back for a second, and why are questions important? And generally, when I start working with an individual on their own career development and getting their next job, we get the strategy down for getting more inflow, so getting interviews. We get the strategy down for building relationships, also get more interviews, because the goal of all the first initial like branding, resume revamping, LinkedIn revamping, all that kind of stuff is just to get interviews. Problem is, though, you get interviews, but you don't know how to actually, you know, ace the interview, then it's not going to matter. You're not going to get job offers. And so you see this like constant, oh, I'm very excited about this job opportunity, but then they let the interview slide. And you never really want your dream job to be the first interview that you have, because no matter what, you're going to need to practice 3 or 4 times to really figure out where you're stumbling and where you need to double down and just practice and create stories from. But one of the biggest mistakes I see when it comes to interview practice when I'm working with clients is that people tend to just take the interview for what it is. They let go of control. They give all the power to the person interviewing, and they don't realize that they actually need to transform the interview to a conversation, and they need to leverage questions to learn more about the actual intent and interests of the person that are interviewing. And that's where questions come in. Questions allow you to figure out what the person's actually asking, so you can answer the actual question, mm-hmm. not the one they're asking, and then transform the interview from an interview more so to a conversation, so you can build a positive relationship.
I'm so happy you said that. I have a couple episodes where I just break down interview questions. What's the true meaning behind the question? So what do you know about our company? Well, the recruiter works there. They know about the company. What they're really trying to get at is, did you do any research? Do you even care about what we're doing here? What can you tell me about that? A lot of questions have that kind of question behind the question that is digging at more than just learning about the candidate, really learning about what they're all about or their interests in the process or how they think. With your idea of leveraging those, I think you had two different factors there. One is getting to the question behind the question, and then two, and I really like the way you said it, transforming it from an interview into more of a conversation. Do you have any strategies on how to do that? I think the risk is the job seeker becoming the interviewer, right? Which can be dangerous and take things off the rails. As someone who's interviewed thousands of people, you have your process and your rhythm you like to get into. And when I've had this, when people start asking me a bunch of questions 1/3 of the way through the interview, it gets a little frustrating. So what's the way to smoothly do that? And I agree, you should get to know the interviewer and converse with them. In my mind, flip the script a little bit to make it seem like they're sitting down with a colleague or a peer or even a coworker instead of this interrogation. What are some methods to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to add one more bucket to it because I didn't mention it yet. And that's for you to actually screen the position to make sure that it's one that you want. Because generally, you'll get through a whole interview process. You're doing 3, 4, 5 interviews. You've asked 5 minutes of questions each interview. So you've maybe asked 20 to 25 minutes of questions, maybe even less. And then they're offering you the job. You need to make a decision on if this is the place you're going to want to work for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe more. That's not enough time to figure out if it aligns with your values and it's going to be a fulfilling opportunity for you. So then you have to go ask for another meeting with the hiring manager, and then it delays the process. That can not be the best option. So when it comes to asking questions, a big tip to not be overwhelming and to make it interrogation is that your questions should actually be oriented towards learning and should be oriented towards your general curiosity. They shouldn't be abrasive. They shouldn't be negative. They should be you actually trying to learn more about the position and their intent. And that's just you having leaning into this concept of, oh, that's interesting. I want to learn more. Or not accepting their question as the actual question. So generally, a good rule of thumb is if you're a little unsure about what the question is trying to achieve, or you know that there might be a little bit more information, or you want to get more specific with your own answer, or want to give yourself some more time, you ask a question after they ask you the question. Now, if you want to learn more about the position and the role and see if your answer actually was what they wanted, then you ask a question after the question, after you answer the question. And so you don't want to do both of those generally. You want to maybe switch off. And so in most of the time, you probably will do this at about 50% of the questions that you're asked, maybe a little bit more. If you find that you are just asking question after question, you may actually just hold on and say you have a couple questions that you'd like to ask at the end of the interview, because you don't want to take over the conversation, because then it's not a conversation anymore. As you said, they moved too far on the scale to now you being that interviewer. But don't hold back on things that you want to know, but you just want to maybe hold off a little bit during the interview itself and set them to the side so you can ask them later. You can even follow up with an email, by the way, with those questions too.
Yeah, I think getting permission to do so puts you in a good spot too, because then you have permission to have another line of communication where some other candidates might just be waiting for the follow-up email to say, hey, we're going to bring you back. We want to do another interview. You now have a line of communication where you can throw, in my mind, what would be best is to ask a question and maybe throw an idea or two their way as well.
Let's take an example maybe, because you should be telling stories if you ask a question, get further elaboration, you should tell a story that relates to what they're looking for and what they're asking. What's an example of a job right now that someone might be interviewing for?
Digital marketing specialist.
Okay, digital marketing specialist. So a question might be asked, share time when you assisted in a digital marketing campaign. It's a pretty broad question. So in that instance, you might actually want to ask more specifics that relate to the specific job. Can you share an example of a campaign that you might be launching this year? I'd love to give you a more specific example related to some of your goals are for this role. That's a question that you can ask prior to answering it. Now, afterwards, let's say you share a campaign, you can ask them specifically like how your answer relates to their goals for that year or what tools they use, or you can ask them something related to what you shared with them so to see what resonated and what didn't, and then you can elaborate. For example, does how we ran the campaign at XYZ company along with how you run campaigns here, or what differs about how you run campaigns here? I'd love to elaborate on my answer.
Those example questions you gave are great. From my side of the table interviewing people, it didn't happen nearly enough, but when people would ask questions like that, what are your objectives for next quarter? What are your goals for Q3 of this year? And a lot of candidates, so we'll say for the digital marketing associate role or specialist, whatever I called it, a lot of people just come in and say, oh, I can do that. I can do everything, right? I'm good on all, I know all these programs. I'm good on all of the social media sites, whatever it is. When someone starts asking things about what are your goals, maybe what are your methods, it shows that they're a strategic thinker and they're thinking beyond just the daily tasks. They want to know what the company is trying to achieve. And when you're an employee that even thinks that way and aligns with that, it just shows how much more depth you have, the understanding you have of the role, but also not the day-to-day, not the making this post for our Twitter that's going to go out tomorrow, which is maybe the focus of the role. But why are we doing this? What are we trying to achieve with something like this? So asking those questions early on, of course, it gives you a much better understanding of what you'll be doing and helps clarify that. But for the interviewer, it shows your thought process and how you approach things instead of just let's put out some content. It's why are we doing this? How do we make this align with what we're trying to do in the big picture? I really like that example you gave.
Yeah, thank you. And whenever someone's asking you a question, their underlying question all the time is, can this person do the job? Can I trust this person to do the job? Is this person going to make my job easier? Is this person going to be easy to work with? Most importantly, it's can they do the job? So you always have to be showing them and highlighting that you can do this, that you can do the job through your own skills. But you don't tell someone like you can't tell someone you're funny. They're not going to believe you. You have to show them that you're funny. So meaning that you have to have stories about where you've actually applied the things that they're looking for. Stories are memorable. Stories evoke emotions. People believe stories because stories are harder to make up than just giving you like a general blanket statement. Now, sometimes I have individuals that say, well, what if I don't have a story? Because sometimes you're interviewing for a job that maybe you don't have direct experience for. Well, then you want to figure out stories for the things you do, so make sure you have them. But for the things you don't have direct stories for, go become an expert in the space or go learn how someone has delivered a program like that in the past or how they've used that program For example, I had someone wondering, well, I've never used Salesforce and they want us to use it. Great. Go online, watch a video about how to use Salesforce, schedule a demo with Salesforce, become and understand how the application works and the different tools that are involved there. So then when they ask you, have you used Salesforce? You go, I've actually spent a lot of time learning the application. I've gone through a demo. I've watched different videos. I understand how to use it for a variety of different applications within an organization. How do you use Salesforce here? And then they'll tell you how they use it. And then you can speak to how you would leverage Salesforce for that specific skill and goal. So you basically help them tell your own story without a direct actual story that you can share with them.
If you're tired of copy and pasting your resume information into every job application, wasting 10, 20 minutes applying for each role, you can save a ton of time, apply to more roles, and use a resume template that works with applicant tracking system and plugs all of your information. Dates worked, job titles, company name, experience, all of that. You can purchase that ATS-friendly resume template that I created and tested at jobinterviewexperience.com. If you need to nail an interview, don't waste an opportunity with answers that don't connect and hurt your candidacy. I offer one-on-one interview training, mock interviews, career strategy, resume work, and more. You can book a session for 30, 45, or 60 minutes at jobinterviewexperience.com and receive the same impact and insight that is making a huge difference for job seekers just like you who use my interview and career training. Finally, my weekly newsletter goes beyond the podcast with short video content, best practices, industry updates on job openings in the playing field, links to top resources, and more. My newsletter has quickly become a top resource for job seekers that want to get hands-on and fast-track their careers. Just like everything else, you go to jobinterviewexperience.com, enter your email address for the weekly newsletter. It's free, and it's your partner for navigating the job search and fast-tracking your career. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com for everything I just talked about.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Not only are you showing them with that Salesforce example, not only are you showing the company that you're proactive, that you're a go-getter, you're also, say you don't get the job offer, you're widening your industry knowledge, whether it's Salesforce or whatever it is you don't have experience in. All those little things, a company is using probably 5, 10, 30 tools. The more you can have even a little bit of knowledge on them, not being an expert, but being able to reflect back on that an interview or two later, or maybe a next job, you're building yourself up. In my mind, that's not wasted time. You said something that I want to repeat for listeners. And one of the things I try and do here is make sense of this process for job seekers, for listeners. For you and I, we live and breathe this stuff, so it all makes sense. But getting rid of as much of the jargon as possible, and you did that when you said it better than this, but people don't believe if you tell them that you're funny. You have to show them that you're funny. And for job interviews, when you say, "I did this," there's a time for that, but when you can say, "My manager or my coworker said that I behave this way," obviously you can't prove all of your skills just during a job interview, but that kind of show, don't tell idea is really important for the interview. In my mind, using other people's words, feedback you've gotten during a review, something that coworkers have said to you, instead of saying, "People think that I'm really good with Salesforce," saying, "My last coworker, Ben, came to me with questions about Salesforce because I had become an expert in it." Just turning some of these things that are real life facts, but turning them into situations, feedback from other people, makes a big difference. Now, during your job interview, you probably don't want to tell people that you're funny or recognized for being funny, but anything like that, I think, is really powerful. So for listeners, I just want to repeat that. You can go back and listen to how Ben said it, because he said it more eloquently than I did, but The idea is show, don't tell. And that goes a long way. And if you can inject just a couple of those, like two or three of those into your interview, it really separates you from people who just say that they can do things versus demonstrate it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for reiterating that. It's just so important to get specifics. I see individuals, you know, we have the star format for answering interview questions. They will just say a very general outline of what they did. They'll skip over the details, and the details prove that you know how to do the thing that you're telling them you know how to do. If you're able to walk through the step-by-step process, and you may seem silly to you, I built a report and I ran that report and I downloaded that report and made sure that it was presentable. I shared it with our major stakeholders, and then I presented on that report during our meetings. People need to know you can do that. And it proves that you can do the specific job. And then you share the result of what that was. And then everyone was aligned on where we needed to go next and XYZ. But very often people skip through those specific details. And I know we're focused on questions right now, but it's the same thing where you're going a level deeper than most people go. It shows that you're prepared. It shows that you're knowledgeable. It shows that you're strategic. It shows that you think deeply about these types of things and know it incredibly well. And if you share that, then I have no other reason than to believe you. That's what you're capable of.
Just to touch on one small thing, you mentioned the STAR method, and I think I said this maybe a couple episodes ago, but if you're struggling with job interviews and maybe this is just not your cup of tea, you can use the STAR method to answer non-STAR interview questions if you need a way to format a response. But what I want to really dig into here is the R of STAR's result. And really quickly, I just want to say, when you share something like that with the result, if you can always try and share what you learned, that's really powerful for employers because you've learned a lesson, you've gained a skill that now can be theirs. So when you say, we got this new program, it's really popular, but it had a couple glitches. I know you're using it or you're looking to adopt it. What I learned from this or what I learned what to do to make this work right is XYZ. When you can do that for an employer and kind of show them not just what you're good at, first of all, show them that you can learn, right? You can grow. And then two, that's a skill that obviously it needs to be relevant to them that you can bring to the table there. Recruiters, hiring managers, maybe it's your future boss you're interviewing with, they really are hearing that type of feedback that you're learning and growing your toolbox through every challenging situation you go through. Before we move on from interview questions, are there two questions that you recommend job seekers ask at the end of every interview?
Yes, thank you for bringing this up. So two questions that can help, one, reveal what you haven't answered, any hesitations that the interviewer has, and then one that helps solidify you as a fit. So they're related, but the first one is, okay, based on our interview today and the way that I've answered these questions, you can have an intro. You don't need to. It was basically, based on what I've shared so far, what hesitations do you have for me in this role? And the interviewer is more likely to then share something that is bothering them. I don't know how often you've gone through an interview and then they've not decided to move forwards with you. And they've said, oh, well, we didn't think that you were really strong in the analytics portion. I didn't think you were really strong in the technical aspects of the role. Well, wouldn't you like to know that during the interview so that you could speak to it? Because I don't know anyone that said, oh, I don't have that experience. And they said, oh, I do have that experience. I just didn't know that I needed to emphasize it. So generally, this can help you ensure that doesn't happen. The second question is, based on what I've shared so far, what makes me a strong fit for this role? And that's going to allow them to qualify you for the position. So they're going to call out what they think your strengths are. They're going to, and these are the things that they're going back to the interview panel or the hiring manager, the recruiter, and they're sitting there and going, well, they were really strong at this area. And you want to know that and that they recognize that and value that specific strength because you can speak more to it, but also because you want to leave the interview with them thinking that you are a good fit.
For that first question about any hesitations, from my experience, some candidates follow up after the interview, especially if they don't get the offer, and they say, hey, do you have any feedback for me? What did I do right or wrong? And personally, I don't think recruiters should ever answer that. And most companies have a policy not to. It's just extremely dangerous for the company. It puts them in kind of murky waters. If you're going to ask that, the interview is really the only chance you're most likely going to get a response. If a recruiter would ever happen to give you a response via email, they're just putting themselves at risk. I would say at least half the time, you're probably not going to get an honest answer because recruiters are incredibly dishonest. Joking. As a past recruiter, we're typically very protective of ourselves and our roles, but they might tell you some things. They might say, hey, we're looking for a little more experience with this software. They might give you some insight. We're hiring this because we need someone who's really good in this area. We like these other skills you have. We just haven't seen that you've worked with this tool before. Asking for feedback on what they like about you. What that can help do is they can really sell themselves on you without knowing it. You might be asking them to think through things they haven't thought of before. What comes to mind? What do we like about this person? Once you say something out loud, it really helps solidify it in your own mind as well. If you're not super well qualified, that doesn't mean that you're going to become well qualified for a job. But challenging them to say anything like that out loud to you, or even if they don't answer, thinking through it, I think is a powerful way to help them think about something that they might not. They might be rushing from this interview to the next interview without assessing you. And they'll have some notes and maybe review those. But those notes are probably just based on your questions. A lot of recruiters aren't going to be writing down the big picture of what they like. They'll just be writing down little, you know, pros and cons of you. So I think it's a great way to dig into that, or to get them to dig into you a little bit more by asking that. If you don't ask, you won't get an answer. But even if they don't give you an answer, they might still be thinking through it themselves and coming to a different conclusion if you hadn't. Besides listening to the job interview experience, are there any proven methods of interview prep that can help a job seeker ace an interview?
Yeah, we've seen a huge growth in the leveraging of ChatGPT and other AI tools to help prepare interview questions or to chat back and forth. You can prompt AI tools to act like an interviewer, act like a seasoned recruiter at XYZ company. That tends to be pretty good. There's also some other tools out there. Even LinkedIn Premium has an interview tool that is also pretty strong. I think you can get lost sometimes in that prep. What I highly recommend for anyone, though, is just a really simple activity. You take the job description that you're interviewing for. And most of the time, unless they explicitly tell you that job description is not the job, that does happen sometimes, but generally it doesn't. Generally, someone like the recruiter, the hiring manager, and the hiring manager's manager has spent time crafting that job description. You just take that job description, you take the requirement bullet points, and you change them into questions. And then you spend time answering those questions. You figure out stories that you can tell from your past experience that relate to each of those bullet points. Can't tell you how many people said, Ben, that's a lot of work. Ben, I don't have time for that. And I go, well, then you don't have time for the job. Because they are going to ask you questions that relate to the requirements of the role. The job description is the best source of that. Yes, once you start interviewing, you can ask more specific questions of the people that are interviewing you. But prior to that, pay attention to what those bullet points are.
I really like that. And what comes to mind for me on top of that is, and I should probably do an episode on this, is helping the recruiter ask you the right questions. And going through those bullet points, you might have some unique experience with something that the recruiter won't ask you about, but you think is crucial to the role or crucial to your candidacy. Going through that job description exactly as Ben said, and first off, obviously thinking of questions, what kind of questions will be asked for this? You could ask ChatGPT, I'm sure, to ask you questions based off of that requirement. But also, hopefully it'll help you think a little bit deeper into what you've done in that area. And you can write down some notes. Make sure to hit on this during the interview. If I'm not asked, find a way to weave this into a response so that I can put all of my information forward for the recruiter, because they don't know what they don't know about you. And if you have something that's ancillary to the job, if you can bring that in, it's, oh, well, this person, we thought they were a 7 out of 10. But now knowing this and knowing what future project that we just decided to start working on, maybe even after putting out this job description, now that we know they have this tool or ability, maybe they're an 8.5 out of 10 now. Listen back through to what Ben said about breaking down that job description and using that to formulate interview questions. That's a unique and really powerful idea. Based on the places you go and the people you speak with and your observation of the job market, what changes do you see happening in the career space or job market in 2024?
If you're tired of copy and pasting your resume information into every job application, wasting 10, 20 minutes applying for each role, you can save a ton of time, apply to more roles, and use a resume template that works with applicant tracking system and plugs all of your information. Dates worked, job titles, company name, experience, all of that. You can purchase that ATS-friendly resume template that I created and tested at jobinterviewexperience.com. If you need to nail an interview, don't waste an opportunity with answers that don't connect and hurt your candidacy. I offer one-on-one interview training, mock interviews, career strategy, resume work, and more. You can book a session for 30, 45, or 60 minutes at jobinterviewexperience.com and receive the same impact and insight that is making a huge difference for job seekers just like you who use my interview and career training. Finally, my weekly newsletter goes beyond the podcast with short video content, best practices, industry updates on job openings and the playing field, links to top resources, and more. My newsletter has quickly become a top resource for job seekers that want to get hands-on and fast-track their careers. Just like everything else, you go to jobinterviewexperience.com, enter your email address for the weekly newsletter. It's free, and it's your partner for navigating the job search and fast-tracking your career. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com for everything I just talked about.
Oh, I wish I knew. I wish I had that crystal ball. The more I work with individuals in the career space, the more I realize that no one knows how it operates. And it is broken, 100%. It is broken. And there has to be an evolution of how organizations are sourcing talent. And you're seeing it more so where companies are taking over the sourcing process. So maybe recruiters are becoming, maybe they're building stronger relationships, but the normal, we're going to post a job and we're going to fill that job through the candidates that apply to it, are decreasing dramatically. Hiring managers will be reaching out to their network. Friends of friends will be asking them if they know anyone that can fit this specific role. I think you're going to see a drastic increase in the organic sourcing or social media sourcing of positions. It emphasizes the need to leverage your relationships and build not your current network, but build new relationships with people that are one step above you in their career, because those are the people that are going to consistently be one step above you and know of opportunities that might fit you, what your interests are and what the industry is. So we're going to have to see some sort of shakeup in the job market, because it is the way that we're sourcing candidates. 2 to 5% response rate on applications. It's broken. It's not working. The increase of organic sourcing, and we'll see if anything else changes throughout 2024.
Yeah, I think that organic sourcing you talked about helps with cultural alignment. And if you're getting referrals about people from not just top employees, but employees that you think align with your culture, do well there, it just helps bring in people that are like-minded and probably have similar values as the company and everyone else. So I agree with you on that. I'm curious to see where that goes, how sustainable that is, especially for a high growth company. See, I've seen this personally, trying to use referrals that can run out of steam pretty quick. But if there's a way to motivate employees to help bring in their friends, first of all, they have to like the company to do that. Second, it really does help bring in people that are in some ways most likely already a good fit, because if you're going to put your name on the line at the company you work at to recommend someone, they've got to be good, both skills and as far as their behavior goes. You talked about response rates to job applications. I think you said 2% somewhere in there, maybe 2 to 5%. It can feel like a big waste of time. It can feel like a second job or maybe even more work than a current job. Is there a way to navigate that without wasting so much time?
Yeah. By the way, I think you're also going to see a change, hopefully a further change in how we ask people to fill out jobs. I think you're already seeing that with some of the startups and other companies where it's like your name, email, submit, done.
Yeah,
great.
I've seen that.
I know people that will open up a job, and if they require you to sign up an account, they just don't fill out the job. And I hope companies are seeing a decrease in talent based on how they're asking people to fill out applications. I think we're going to see the increase in AI tools for filling out positions. We're already seeing some of them come on board. They're not very good yet, but we're going to see an increase, an influx in that to help reduce the stress of filling out those applications. There might be even like, I think they've tried to do this before with some like ZipRecruiters and Indeed, where you load a resume up and it applies, it like automatically applies to positions in almost like an umbrella kind of application process. We haven't really seen that a lot for professional jobs. And I think maybe even recruiters might be leveraging some new technology in the future that makes it easier for them to keep people in mind for specific positions and opportunities. But I think we can't overlook the fact that applying for a job on a job board, despite that it might feel like a waste of time and like throwing your resume down into a black hole, 2-5% response rates, it's still a response. And if you're getting interviews from your brand and from your resume, then you think you got to keep doing it. But it just becomes part of the job search process instead of all of it. And I know people that think, well, I applied to these three dream jobs that I'm really interested in. But then when you finally tell them that, hey, by the way, you get a 2% chance, right, of getting a callback, they start seeing the importance of quality and quantity. And also then start seeing the importance of emphasizing kind of the personal outreach from their own perspective.
So we'll say that we hit that, we applied 98 times and we got our two responses. Companies are really focusing on values, right? Or in my opinion, at least they front some values, not that those don't always align with the day-to-day. How does a job seeker that's now interacting with these companies, how do they find a job that or a company that aligns with their values and their goals?
Yeah. And one more piece on the job application process, because some people I know, they say, oh, well, I got a no, I got a thank you for responding email. And they think that those are meaningful in some way. Please keep in mind that if a company sends you a thank you so much for applying, but no thank you, that it doesn't really mean anything. I've seen people get the job that they were turned down for through the automatic process. Like, it means that you weren't selected, yes, but it doesn't mean you have to give up on the position. It doesn't mean that your resume was actively reviewed and that you were turned down. It means that for some reason, they did not select you to move forward in the interview process. That's what it means. So you can navigate and strategize other ways to potentially get the attention of the hiring manager and the position. But also, you may just say, oh, it wasn't important, but do please don't take it personally. Please don't let it hold you back or make you less motivated for the job search itself, because you're more than likely going to get that email, but there's going to be times where you don't get that email.
Any ideas on getting the attention of the recruiter or hiring manager that you mentioned after receiving that thanks but no thanks email?
Yeah, I think the problem is going through the recruiter. So I like to think of an organization or a job like a busy restaurant. So going to the recruiter is like walking up to the maitre d' or the host when you don't have on a reservation on a Saturday night and they're packed. And it's like you're asking to get put on the list, but they're busy. They have a whole job that they're worrying about. And unless you're on the list already, they might not care. And so you can put your name on the list and wait just like everybody else. But if you walk outside and see the chef hanging out with the bartender and they're just chatting around, and you walk up to them and just start a conversation about the restaurant, about their job, about what the night's, and then they say bye to you, or you say bye to them, and then they go, hey, are you coming in? And you're like, oh, I don't have a reservation. They're like, well, we'll get you in, come through the side door. And so generally, you're not trying to get the attention of the recruiter. You're not talking about the job. You're trying to get the attention of someone at the company. And this is where the strategy of meeting somebody that's one step above you, because then you can actually get curious about their job path and about the organization itself and have a normal, interested conversation with them, not about the job and not about work. And through that relationship, they might invite you into the side door. But it's not a guaranteed process, but it's a higher percent chance than applying to the black hole of resumes that get sent through the application process.
If you have a LinkedIn page and a decent amount of connections, whether it be 100 locally or 500 LinkedIn actually does a great job. If you look up the exact company you're interested in, it will tell you if you have any connections that work there, which is probably the fastest way to learn if you have someone that you can just send a quick message to. Obviously, going back through memory, networking through friends or family or neighbors can help a lot, especially it depends on the market that you're in, the size of the town or city that you're in. But you might be surprised just asking a couple questions or just saying, do you know anyone at these five companies? Everyone seems to have a relative that is more successful, maybe better networked. So those are a couple ways just to find out. And maybe it's a company that you hadn't thought of applying to, but they are, you'll see this a lot. This person might be friends with the marketing manager and you're in marketing, or they're in a breakfast club with someone from that company. But going back to LinkedIn, you can pretty quickly see if you know anyone there. And it doesn't have to be your best friend to shoot them a message. It just warms it up a little bit. Maybe you two connected in college or accidentally or whatever it is. But if they're connected with you via LinkedIn and they work there, I would hope they would at least respond to your message. I've seen people talk about this. They might say, hey, this is a really bad time to apply. There's some things going on here in the next 6 months, probably layoffs, things like that, that they might give you an inside scoop and say, hey, this probably isn't a good time. I care about you getting to where you want to go. And I can make an introduction, but you might want to think twice about coming here because I think this department's going to be downsized, so on and so forth. But a lot of times it's going to be good news, not bad news. And they might say, hey, yeah, I'll send me your resume and I'll forward it on to my friend in this department. Would be, that's one direction to pretty quickly identify someone who might work at a company that you are interested in and then getting that introduction from there.
Yeah. And honestly, though, most people I know that have gotten jobs aren't from people that they know. Most usually the people that don't know the right people, because you haven't spent the time building the network a step up or two steps up from where you are. So you have to reach out to people that you don't know generally to get an inroad into a company. And I'm happy to post content about that and happy to talk about that further, but we have to get rid of the idea that you can't do that. That's the number one thing that holds people back when it comes to building relationships at companies. So please keep that in mind too.
Yeah. The problem with that method, Ben, is that it's scary. Do you have a breakdown of how to do that? If there's a way to do that, that you can maybe break down and eliminate some of the fear or unsurety of the process, please share.
Yeah. And maybe this is another episode because I know we're coming up to time and maybe we can talk about it in the future again, but just in general, if you're afraid, that's the biggest roadblock. And so you have to learn how to deal with that fear. Because there is nothing to be afraid of. But that's something that me telling you that is not going to change. We actually have to work through that limiting belief.
I love a good cliffhanger. Why don't we have you back? And maybe we can do an episode just dedicated to that strategy. And I think just how companies are using people to find people, I think this method you're talking about is going to be the kind of inverse version of that for job seekers to use. How can listeners connect with you, follow you, and learn more about your insight?
Yeah, I know we have two cliffhangers. We have the values one, and then now we have the outbound strategy. So feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn, Dr. Benjamin Ritter, send me a message. I'm happy to keep the conversation going with you. If you want to learn more about our coaching services, go to lfyconsulting.com. That stands for live for yourself consulting.com. And I look forward to keeping the conversation going.
Thanks so much, Ben. Before we close here, do you have any parting words of wisdom or motivation for our listeners?
Yeah, no one other than you has responsibility for your own career success. If you want to go in a specific direction, make sure you go in that specific direction. Too often I see people think that they can't get a job because the job sends them an automated response through an email, or they don't feel qualified, so they never even apply to it. If something matters to you, show people that it matters and take the extra step, stand out. And I promise you, with those relationships and with that brand, you're going to at least get a conversation that helps you in your career today and 100% helps you in the future.
Dr. Benjamin Ritter, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to link to the different links that you shared with us in this episode's description. Look forward to having you back sometime soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business, like Delta Airlines. Together with T-Mobile for Business, Delta Airlines is putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. And Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to connect over 2,200 stores around the country with 5G business internet. Plus, T-Mobile is powering AI solutions so Tractor Supply team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.